surrender to you. I surrender. Lord, I surrender my life. Give it all to you. Amen. How many of you want that the purpose of God be done in your life? I mean, God wants to finish that purpose, but we are not waiting on Him to finish it. We need to surrender. We have to learn how to surrender all, not just some things, all. And then He can finish His purpose. And I want Him to finish His purpose. Amen. Thank you, musician. Again, the evening sacrifice has arrived, so it's my lot to be here, so yeah, amen. I'm the one going to take the hits. And no. You know, the devil don't, you know, he's never happy. And he's always, you know, just because we are Christians and come to church, the devil still don't stop. That don't stop him. He's going to try the best he can, always. So, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this tonight. I'm sorry for this opportunity that we have to be back together again. The saints of God, believers, Father, because we want to come and sit at your feet and learn. Teach us tonight, Father, those things that we have need of tonight. You know, before the foundation, you saw this meeting, and you know exactly who, where things are going to happen. You don't do things by surprise, and you don't never surprise of anything. Father, we want you to finish that purpose. Whatever purpose you call us today here, we want to surrender so you can accomplish that purpose. Father, and slowly like that, time after time, one of these days it will be finished. Father, we love you. We ask you to be with our pastor as he is making his way home. Father, and tomorrow he's going to go back to the dentist. We ask you to be with him, Father, and give him rest, give him peace about everything, because everything is under control. Everything is in your hands, Father. Father, we ask you to give him a good night rest tonight. And we ask you, Father, to take over, Father. Father, we love you. We thank you for this congregation. We ask you blessing on this congregation and those that are hearing tonight. And may the word come, Father, in such a powerful way. Of course, simple, but it will change our life tonight, Father. That's what we want. We want a word that come and change us, Father. Father, we love you and we thank you again for all you have done and do and your faithfulness and your goodness. And now, Father, take over, Father. We will surrender to you. Have your way. In the name of Jesus, we ask you these things. Amen and amen. Amen. You can be seated. Let me see what I am right here. So, tonight we're going to speak about the title of my sermon is Thy First Love. And I'm going to do some reading tonight, so it's going to be there so you can follow it. We're going to go to the exposition of the seven church age, chapter 3, and we're going to look at the Ephesians church. Amen? I want to get to it because I want to do some reading. So, here, Brother Branham talking about the complaint of God that he had against the church, the Ephesian church. And he used Revelation 2:4. It says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And that's the title of the sermon. Brother Brown said, to understand this, you must realize that the Spirit of, if not speaking to the original saints of Ephesus alone, this message is for the entire age, he says, which lasted about 120 years. It is a message then, is to all the generation in that span, right? Now, the history says, I'm sorry here, let me. history keeps what? Repeating itself. So I'm assuming that not just that history until today repeats. It's a vicious cycle. See, history will keep repeating itself. And in the generation of Israel, we see revival on one generation, only to see the far fading in the next. And in the third generation, amber may be glowing slightly. But in the fourth generation, it says, may be no vestige whatsoever of that original flame. So it just went out. Four generations. But I'm glad it don't stay there. I mean, we will be most miserable if that's the end of everything. But he said, then God, light the fire again. And you're glad that he will light the fire. Because he will not let the children go in darkness. Says he will light the fire, and the same process is repeated. It is simply the manifestation of the truth that God has no grandchildren. So every generation has to go through what the first generation went through. They cannot go in the coattail of their mom or dad or grandmother. They need to have an experience. Salvation is not passed on by natural birth any more than it is there any truth to the apostolic succession. Amen. He says, it is, and it's not in the word. You start out with the truly born again believers. That's how things get started. And when the next generation come along, they are no longer just plain Christians, he said. But they have taken the denominational names, and now they are Baptists, Methodists, you know, etc. You know, Assemblies of God. Message believers. Let's bring it home anyway. I'm not worried about those guys out there. They don't, I'm worried about me here. We got message believers. And that's a name. Oh, what are you? I'm a message believer. A name. Listen. And sometimes message believer, you know, they just find their way out also of the message. They call message, but they believe in. For example, the Elijah is supposed to come back. See? But that's not it. You cannot even find that in the Bible. Or sometimes the thunders, or sometimes they believe in, you know, all the things. The thing is that us, what we call message believers, we're also deviating, see? Why? Because the light start going out. First, second, third generation, and people start running with their own ideas, thoughts, doctrines. They cannot stay with the Word of God unless the Holy Spirit is there all the time. We're going to see why. Go from generation to generation dying out. Then God light the fire again, says, no grandchildren. Salvation is not passed by natural birth, so and so. You start out with truly a born-again believer, and then when the next generation come along, they are no longer just plain Christians. Now they got a name. Well, I just go to Love Divine. That's just a name. You know, that's not what saves you. That's not what makes you better. It's just a church. It's a name. And what do you offer? But sometimes they think they're better than other ones, see? And that's a problem. So denominational are now Baptist, Methodist, etc., and etc. So if we don't have a problem with that, you know, people come out of other places and they come to another churches, they move around, or maybe they come from a denominational church and they get converted, you know, and they come to a message church. But the problem is that you can take them out of the denomination, but you cannot get the denomination out of them. People in this, we experienced that in the church many times, many years. People come and people go because they maybe were not a denomination. And Brother Brown says, this message will never denominate, but people will. And then they come with a spirit of denomination. Why don't you do it this way? That's not the way we used to do it over there. We're not all the same. Church is autonomous. We got different ways to do things. And that's all it is to it. We got different culture in this place than other places that you probably has been before. And it is not nice for you to compare or anybody to compare that with this, because they're two different things. Besides the word that we believe and the message, but everything else. Oh, we don't take the supper the way you guys do. You know? The Bible says that the bread has to be eaten and whatever is left, it has to be burned before dawn. And you guys are giving it around to eat. So, okay. So what? Well, that's what they used to do over there. Fine. That's fair. They burn it. That's what they want to do it. I'm not against that. And if I was in there, I will do it that way. But see, we come to another church. We call message believers, and we have different culture with all different things. And suddenly we start judging this with that. Which, if that was the case, stay where you came from. Where did you live to begin with? You know. And we've seen cases like that. I'm not talking just making things up. This is what happened. This is what I have experienced here and there and everywhere that I go. You know, someone told me one day, he says, you know, you can take a Puerto Rican from Puerto Rico, but you cannot take Puerto Rico from a Puerto Rican. And that is true. I like my food, I like my music, I like everything, my culture, blah, 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 blah. And I'm standing here, but you cannot take Puerto Rico out of me. And you cannot take Spain out of Brother Carbo. But still, you know, we come and fellowship, right? Because that is not the main thing. That has no value. But that's who I am. And you accept me the way I am, and I accept you the way you are. As long as we can agree on one thing and one thing only, that's the word of God. Everything else, you know, has no value. No value. At least for salvation or anything else. Now, the Bible gives us a picture. I'm going to read you a couple of verses here. And Paul gives us a nice picture of what a church is, what the body of Christ is. You know, denomination, that's man-made denomination. And we come to church, and sometimes we, you know, like to manhandle the congregations. But see, I don't care what man's do and what he decides to do. I care about God and what he wants to do. And I'm not lining up myself in anything else but his word. Amen. So I want to know what he wants, what is his purpose, and that's what I want to do. So first thing, we're going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. It says, this is the first analogy or illustration Paul speaks about what is a church and a body. It says, and had put all things under his feet, that's Christ, Jesus Christ, and get him to be the head over all things to the church. So Christ is the head, he says, which is the body. See, the church is the body, you, the local body. See? So you're the body, and he's the head, and that's it. There's no man in between. Just the Holy Spirit is the only one that have authority over the people. We just stand here and do what we have to do, what we are called to do. But he's the head. And then he says over here, Christ is the head of the body. So there's no scripture that you find a Christless church. Because we're going to see some people believe in God, but they don't come to church. You're going to have it both ways. If you have Christ, you have to be in the body. If you are, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit, yeah, he called you. You cannot have a Christ without a body, and you cannot have a body without a head. Because some people, they go to church, but they don't submit to the authority. Have you seen a chicken with the head cut off? I did. They just flap, 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 and the head goes that way and don't even move, and the chicken is still flapping. You know, some of the Christians are like that. Going from place to place, flapping from here, flapping to there. Because they ain't got no head. You know? Or they have a church, but they don't want to submit. Or they submit, but they don't want to go to church. So you can have it both ways. Either you belong or you don't belong. You're a Christian or you're not a Christian. You cannot have it halfway. 2 Corinthians says, the other sample illustration in Corinthians 12:1-7. He says, "Now concerning a spiritual gift, brothers, I will not have you to be ignorant." He says, "You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols." Well, you know, a head, an idol cannot see, cannot smell, cannot talk, cannot speak, had no brain. But see, that's what they wanted. At one time, that's what we were. You know, even as you were led. He says, "Where I give you to understand now that no man is speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus a curse." Yeah, here we go again. Brother Brown told us that many times. You cannot have the Holy Spirit and go against the Word of God. Just impossible. If you're in the body and God is your head and He is the Word, then you have to have a body and you have to have a church. And the other way around. You cannot be headless. You know, he says, "I give you to understand, speaking of the Spirit, God called Jesus a curse, and that not man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." Amen. "For now there is diversity of gift, but the same Spirit. And there are difference of administration, but the same Lord," he says. "And there are diversity of operation, but it's the same God which work all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." See, I got the Holy Spirit. I have a gift, but now it's for me to profit. I cannot profit with my gift. The gift is for you. The gift is a love gift for you. You profit from that gift. And you have a gift, but the body will profit from your gift. That's why you're in the body, because God wants to do certain work. And He needs you so He can do the work. But that does not make you more special or better than anybody. Because that gift don't belong to you. And we heard it many times. What we have to do is just let the gift control us and not control the gift. And that's what happened. Some people want to control the gift. Every member of the body needs to be connected anyway. He says, and we including working all together, the body and the head in the church work together, period. That's it. No more and no less. Amen. Let me go through about five things that we can learn from these two verses. The first thing we learn is that Christ is the head of the church. Plainly, it's right there. See? Not because you decided that He will be the head. You didn't vote it. We didn't take votes, you know, to see if we wanted Him or not. No. He is the head of the church. And the head decided that you will be the body. So what do you have to play in this? Nothing. You are just happy and glad that you've been called. See, because if you're not called, you cannot come. But He is the head because God gave Him that position. And you have a position, and that is to be the body. And that's all. Another thing that we can learn here, that you are the body, and your responsibility is to serve what the head tells you to do. Whatever the head directs you, that's what you do. If this is simple enough, or I'm making it difficult. Not difficult. This is not difficult. So your calling and my calling and our calling is to do what? To be responsive to the head. That's all. Brother Andy did it. Explain it that you know when that happens is when the fruits, by your fruit, I know if you are not, you know, doing what God asks you to do, the word. If you have a head and you do exactly and you respond what the head tells you to do, you will produce fruit. That is how I know that we are lined up with the word of God. Second, every member of the body needs to be connected. I remember I talked to you about relationship. Because the word relationship means connection. You know, that's a short definition of relationship. And we are connected to the head. See? And sometimes when two young people, you know, a young girl and a young boy come in and they like each other, there has to be a connection. That's what we call connection, you know. But what did you love that boy? He's so ugly and nappy hair and blah, 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 and big feet. And oh, I love him. But why? I don't know. But when I lay my, you know, eyes on him, something happens. A connection happened. You cannot explain it. I cannot explain it either. What happens? But something happens. And that's God doing, anyway. God has to put this thing, you know, on us, because if we don't, we will never, you know, procreate, you know. But God, the attraction, you know. Sometimes you meet a boy and nothing happens. And you say, well, I don't like it. Well, what happened? Nothing. Don't you like him? No, we did not connect. See? So if you don't have a connection, you don't have a relationship. But you do have a connection with the brain, that is him. And it's not a connection, it's a relationship that you got with God, you and God. See? So, for that reason, we have to commit ourselves. See? As members of the local church, we have to commit ourselves to that relationship. And that's what people don't like today. You know, young people, this generation, they want to live together. Why? Because they're afraid that it might not work. You know, if the connection is not going to work, what did you want to waste 7 years with somebody, then 12 years, and then, well, I don't think I love you anymore. I think nothing is going on no more. I think my love has died out. I'm dried up. Okay. Why? From the very beginning, that's why they don't get married, because they think what happens if it don't work. So they don't want to make a commitment. But when you do like someone, you're in love with someone, you know. I don't know how, but you know. And you pray about it, and you know which one to choose. This message to give you all the answers for people that want to date and people that want to go out and people that want to get married. Before you get into that phase, you need to learn what God expects from you and what you expect from a woman and a woman from a man. I mean, we are not ignorant. You cannot claim ignorant in this message no longer. We are not ignorant. We know so much, but as much as we know, we are more what responsible. God requires more from you than anybody else. Because we know the head is the one that directs the body. So people don't want to commit. But if you have a relationship with him, you commit yourself. Also, not so much, as much as you commit to the brain, you commit also to the body. The brain is the part that controls the body, and that's him. See, another thing that we can see is sometimes we see Christians that are disconnected. Even in church, we see Christians that are not completely 100% connected. And how do I know that? Well, because the fruits are not there. Sometimes they're in, sometimes they're out, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not, sometimes it's joy, sometimes it's not, sometimes it's, you know, this and the other. Sometimes they're depressed, you know, upset, you know. So I call them a part in the body that has no function. You know, if this hand, something will happen to my hand and it's not working, or if it's amputated, cannot do anything, cannot work. So I call people like that, they're kind of amputated Christians. They come to church, but they don't know the place. They don't know their gift. And if you don't know that, God cannot use you. God wants to use you. But you need to know who you are, what you are, why you've been called, what is your part in the body. I like that little verse in Mark 5:3-5. Let me see if we can read it. This was a man here in the New Testament. His hands was dry. He says, and his one of his hands in Mark 3:5 says, and when he had looked around about on them with anger, that's Jesus, being grieved for the hardness of their heart, unbelief, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched out, and his hand was restored whole as the other one. You know, this is what the only thing I can tell people that are disconnected. You know, God wants to use you. The brain needs to use that part of the body. You belong to the body, and you have to be used for a purpose. But if you are not used, there is no reason. You have no usefulness in the body. So sometimes you think that you don't have any gift, or you don't have, or you're not sufficient, or you don't know what to do, whatever. But the thing is that God needs you. And God can push you in action, see? We don't have to be going like that, like with a dry hand or with food that don't work or whatever, an ear, whatever part. So what happened is to that man is that there was a disconnection, you know, from the brain to the hand. It's a breakdown somewhere. And when people do act that way, kind of disconnected, there's something wrong. So there's some disconnection. See? Because if everything was working the way it's supposed to be working, it won't be no disconnection. You'll be there doing exactly what God asked you to do. It doesn't matter how small, how big, but you'll be there because God needs that part. I don't care how small. See, he told that man, stretch your hand. See? And I found this very fascinating every time I read this, because the man could not do nothing with that hand, period. See? But the scripture says simply, he stretched his hand, and he was completely restored. And that's what God wants to do. God wants to completely restore his body. When this body gets completely restored and everybody knows what to do, when to do, you know, then we can have some church. Then you can profit. You know, when you come to church, you can profit for your brother. You can do something for your sister. But if you don't know what's going on and you don't know what's wrong with that gift that you cannot use for whatever reason, you cannot help anybody. But God wants you to. Amen. Well, I don't have any gifts, or I don't have this or that. Well, even if to come to church and clap your hands and say amen. If that's what I call you, right? Just like Walmart, just be at the door and greet everybody. You know, I like to come to church, and I always like to see people, you know, the agreement with a smile. I really appreciate the smile, you know. Because sometimes we come in, you know, with the things of the world and working all day long, and, you know, it's nice to see someone smiling and not, you know, complaining or anything. Thank you, sister. You have a nice smile. John, yeah, I have nothing to do with you anyway. Anyway, you know, you guys smile. I like it because it made me feel better. See, you're supposed to have joy, and you're supposed to have peace, and you're supposed to come to church, and it's supposed to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the faces are just, how can you do that and have a face like that? Are you okay? You're having fun. Don't look at me anyway. You know, so we come to church and sometimes we feel that we had no function, that we had no place, that we are not able, or we are disconnected. But it is not so. You should pray. You know, find out what God wants you to do and how he wants to use you, and do it with all your heart. And then you'll be happy. When you find yourself in the place that God wants you to do, that he can work with you, then you'll be happy. That's why we see so many unhappy Christians. Because they don't know what to do or where to go. You know? I'm not lost. I was lost once. But I'm glad that I found my place. And I will not leave it. I will not go back. Because I know now who I am and what God is purpose in my life. And I will do all I can, all in my power, physically, to fulfill whatever God has given me to fulfill. And I know it's not me going to fulfill it. That brain, Christ in me, will give me the energy, will give me the strength, will give me the desire and the do. So I don't have to worry about it. All I have to do is just surrender, and he will take out the rest. Amen? So when we are connected to Jesus Christ, then we can draw life. Sometimes we see people down and out and frustrated. How? He is the fountain of life. Why can't we draw life from him when you are lifeless, maybe? I don't want to use the word lifeless. You got life if you have Christ. But sometimes we are not connected with that life. Sometimes there's obstruction. The water cannot come down. Don't flow. You know, but you know that he can. That he can open up the windows of heaven and bless you. We don't have to live that way. We don't have to be frustrated. Well, I don't go to the church because nobody loves me. But he loves you. What else do you want? We need to care. He cares for us and we care for him. Jesus, you're talking about nobody loves you. They crucified Jesus. They hate him. And they will hate the children too. So what does that have to do with anything? Like Brother Andy was saying, it doesn't matter. Just do what you're supposed to do. Don't let that stop you. Because it's going to continue. Until we live here, we're going to have to put up with things. You know? So, he is the life. He is our source of life, of strength. Amen. When we feel that way, let's draw. You know, like Brother Brown said, you have a check. Why don't you write a check? Draw from the bank. Anything you have need is there already. We don't need to walk that way. Frustrated, depressed, pressed. You know, we're supposed to draw from that bank. You know, and he's rich. My father's rich. You will never exhaust that bank. Draw, push, draw, Brother Baker was saying. See, we don't have to walk with our heads down. Amen. It's just a lie of the devil. And then you'll be able to fulfill your work that he has called you to do in the church, at home, in your life, everywhere you go. But you have to drink from the fountain of Christ. And he's available tonight. And if you're a Christian and he's in you, that's your source. That's where you need to go. When you feel kind of dry, you know, and out. Push forward, drink and push, Brother Doug was talking about. You know, and you push and you drink and you push. And when the devil comes, you know, you say boo and boo and more boo, boo, the smaller he gets, see? Like that little story that Brother Brandon told us, the devil came to that man. I think that was a dream he had. And he said every time the devil would say boo, he gets smaller. Boo, he gets smaller. And then he, you know, I don't know how he figured it out, but he started saying boo back. And every time he said boo, he got smaller. He could say boo back and boo. And finally, you know, he got so small that you probably could keep it under your feet. You know, you don't have to take that. You're a Christian. You got rights. You don't have to take that. You have the right to be happy. You know that you have the right to be healed and you have to be right to be healthy and you be right to be strong. So just tell the boo, 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 you know. In the morning when you get up, don't even wait. Just boo before you open your eyes because he's waiting at you. Start chasing that guy out of your life. You don't need him. He has never done nothing good for me. Just tell him, out. You know, out of my town, you go. We have the new sheriff here in town, and it's me. You know, I'm going to give the orders. Now, you know, he's not your boss. So you give the orders. Another thing that we can learn from these two verses is that we are members of the body, and we will suffer. See? And we will suffer just like Jesus suffered. In his suffering, that's why he learned. He was obedient. He suffered. See? So there's no way I can tell you that this is a picnic and everything is going to be all right. No. You join God called you and you are here in this church. And I tell you, things are not going to get better in that sense. You know, people are going to hurt you. Even your own brother, your own sister sometimes is going to hurt you. They don't want to. People are going to hurt you. They hurt Christ. They're going to hurt you. But that's not a reason to run. Because you know that that has to happen. God is testing. God is bringing you. God is let you go through this test and tribulation so he can bring that out of you, the best out of you. You have to have it, you know. You're not going to sit down in church 20 years and hopefully, you know, God is going to, thank you. You've been a good servant. He has all you needed. No, you're going to have to fight for it. And more than fighting for, you're going to have to, for every step you take. Or your, like Brother Brown says, the steps you take, every step you take, and every thing you take from what the devil took from you, you know, that's probably the easy part. You know what's the hard part? To keep it. Because he's already to go and fight and possess something, but that's the easy part. The thing is to keep it. To sustain. You know, because if that don't happen, you know, you have a good day today, and tomorrow you have a different day. And then the next day you up, and the next day you down. Why? Why can't you hold on to your joy? Why can't you hold on to your strength? Why you can hold on to your health? That is one of the hardest things that we need to do. Every step that we claim, every step that we take towards the kingdom of God, you got to stand firm and take it. You know, Satan is not going to, you know, leave you there and say, well, I lost it. I better go and mess with somebody else. No. He's still going to come and try. Well, you say they pray for you and you heal? Yes, I had a good time last night and they prayed for me and I felt like God came down. Okay, and tomorrow when you wake up, he's going to come back again. Oh, I thought they prayed for you. What about that pain? You are there again. But you're not looking at the pain and you're not looking at your body. You're looking at the promise. And that's why you have to tell him, you see, because he will come back. And God's going to allow him to come back to make sure that you know that you believe what you just happened. You know, that blind man went for a whole week. I can see. You know, that is a big revelation. You know, when you somebody pray and you know that God, you know that God did something for you. It doesn't matter if hell come down. It happens. But Satan going to say, you're still blind. It happens. So you have to hold on. That's the hard part. Once you receive from God, is to hold on to your promise. Because it's not going to leave you alone until, you know, you stand firm in your promise, in that rock, and you are immovable. He's not going to move you from that point. And he will leave you alone. See, resist him. The more you resist him, he will leave you alone. Why? Because you know that that happens. And there's no question about it. I don't care what it looks like, I'm healed. I don't care what happened, I have a promise. Brother Brown said it quite simple. He says, you save as long as you say that you're saved. As long as you faith say you're saved, you save. The minute you say you are not, you are not. Wow, is that simple? Yes, it's that simple. You are the one. It's your confession of faith what keep you. It is your confession in his word that keep you alive today. You know, the only reason I'm still alive here and standing here all my years is not because of me. It's not because of my gene, even though I got good genes. You know, 102, my mom, and 97, my dad, I got good genes. But I'm not betting on my genes. No, I'm betting on the word of God. Because genes today and tomorrow, no genes. You know, you don't know what can happen. I saw people that they were healthy, younger than me, 40 years old. Vegetarians, and they don't put nothing in their body to harm them. They knew everything, and then the next day they were dead. You know, you cannot add one statue. You cannot add anything to your life. So that's why I say, good genes or bad genes, I still believe that God is my The one that kissed me. The ones that give me strength. The one that keeps me alive. Amen. That's all it is to it. So, Satan sometimes uses people that you love. You know, your wife, your husband, the one closest to you is what he uses. You know, like Job, he uses his wife. Why don't you curse and die? You know, that wasn't the wife. And that's not your brother and your sister. You know what Brother Brown says? That is the devil. Because he wants to try you, test you, God, and he allows him to do that. You know, you say, well, I don't know about that. He didn't know. You know, Peter, you know, when Jesus said, I got to go to Jerusalem, I got to die. And I think I have that, the verses here, but I'm going to die and then going to do this and that. But I will resurrect. And Peter says, oh, no. He says, he rebuked him. I mean, that's how hard. Rebuked him, said, no, you are not going to do that. Over my dead body. Well, he didn't say that, but that's just what he said. Man, no, you are not. And Jesus turned to him and what he says, Satan. He didn't say Peter. He says, Satan, get thee behind me. See, is that your brother? Is that your sister? Is that your wife? Is that your husband? You are being tested. And you know the one that you need to move out of you. It's not your brother that you need to speak out of a system. It's the other guy. That's, you know. So sometimes it's a loved one. You know, if you new in this church and you are visiting or you part of this church, you're going to get hurt. I'm not going to promise you that everything is going to be peachy. You know. If you haven't been hurt, you are going to get hurt. But remember this. That's not your brother. That's not your sister. That's God testing you. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:10, it says, always bearing about in his body, he says, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in the body. So that's why we have to bear, we have to, you see, carry the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. He suffered for us. He went through all that. But that is for our own, what? Edification. So we are going to suffer. People are going to, you know, say sometimes not nice things from us, to us. But nevertheless, if you want Jesus to be manifested in your body, you have to obey just like he did obey in all things. Don't get mad. Get glad when you are tempted. You know, that's what Peter says. Be happy when you are tempted, when you go in temptations. I don't know what's wrong with Peter. Be happy. Nobody likes pain or afflictions or whatever. But he says, be happy. Because that is working in you. God's purpose in your life. And don't blame. You know, I think this week I was looking at the news and that was the trial of this, I think it was the boy that killed, the last school they went in, and he went and the parents had a chance at the end of the court session to say something to him. You know that most of them, all of them, they said to him what I guess all of us deserve, because we are nothing. We don't deserve anything. We deserve death. We all deserve death. I know that was hard. And I cannot identify myself with them. I never had lost a child. But, you know, I had lost some other things. But the thing is, they call him, you're trash. You are nothing. You deserve death. In fact, you deserve to be rotten in jail because they didn't give him the death penalty. It's going to be in life, life until he die. But the thing that those people said, I mean, I know they are hurt. I know they are suffering. But as a Christian, we can never, never wish bad on somebody else. I don't care how bad they do you. Look at how bad they did to Christ. When he get into the cross, what is his last word? Forgive them. I mean, you will never go through that, what he went through. So if somebody does something to you, forgive them, because it's not them. You know? put it all in Satan. Let Satan take, at the end, he's going to pay for all that. Not your brother and not your sister. That's what the Bible said. Whatever you lose, you lose. Whatever you bind, you bind. You don't want to bind somebody with some kind of a sin or something that they did to you and you will not forgive him. And what happened if you died or he dies? And that will never make right. See, you bind them. You need to lose people. Forgive them. Lose them. And that's what Jesus did. He lost the whole generation so they can be saved at least. Who knows? You don't know what God's plan is. Anyway, so we are going to suffer. But we are going to devote our life, our will, to serve him regardless of the suffering. And the suffering of this time will never be compared about the glory that we are going to have. So we need to suffer. We suffer. See? We will have scars and wounds. And, you know, we are called to a battle. This is not a picnic. We are called to fight. You know, and what happened in war, you get hurt. And you're going to get hurt. But listen, my friend, move forward. Keep serving Christ. Don't let that stop you. Like Andy was saying, that had nothing to do with anything. He is your strength. He will give you the strength to bear it. He will give you the strength to overcome. That's what we need to look at and continue serving Christ. See? We all part of a body. And we all have to be healthy. Not only physically, but mentally. You know, there's some people here probably they're carrying things, you know, from the past. They never made it right. And then you continue going forward. You cannot go forward unless you can close that chapter. You cannot move to another chapter. Because you're going to be going back all the time. You cannot live like that. That's just unstable when you try to be in two places at the same time. That's why the Christian cannot live in the rearview mirror. Either you go back or you go forward. But you cannot stay in the middle. It's unstable because you don't know what you're going to do. We need to close those chapters. We need to ask people to forgive us, whatever it is, so we can move to the next chapter. And then we don't have to be going back any longer. You know, some of you are emotionally hurt before. We all been emotionally hurt sometime in different ways. But I tell you what, you need to forget and you need to move forward. God will give you that. God will restore you. All you have to do is just ask him. God will heal you, body and your soul and your mind. God will heal your emotion. God will take care of that. We don't need to come to church with baggage. You know what baggage do? It holds you back down. The more, and some people, you know, have a heavy baggage and you cannot move forward too fast. You know, you try to move forward and it takes you 2 steps back and you go 1 forward, 2 steps. Why? You know, this journey, you're supposed to be, the more you go forward, the more you get lighter. You have to dump stuff. You're not taking anything. Forget about your money, your car, your houses. I'm not saying to give away. I say, this is not about how much I'm going to take with me. You ain't taking anything. So the less you have, the quicker you can get where you're going. But sometimes we like to hold on to too much, and that weighs us down. See? I'm not saying that work and have a home, have a money. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sometimes we are trying to accumulate. That's not the reason we are here. In fact, we're trying to get rid of everything so we can go. If not, you can have all you want to, but the Pope is going to keep it at the end. But the brand said they're going to take the churches, they're going to take the houses, and they're going to use it for what? Warehouses. So you want to leave it all to the Pope? Fine. I'm not leaving him anything, period. You know, when I'm done and I'm out of here. Make yourself lighter, not heavier. Don't be carrying these burdens. You know, the Bible is clear. Jesus says, if you're weary and tired, you know, take my yoke. It's easy. Any problem you have, give it to him. You know, God has a big bag. He can take all your burdens and put them in his bag. And you can have a lighter walk with the Lord and not be burdened down with anything. And it is time. This is time. This is the time that we should be progressing forward, faster. Not spinning our wheels here, looking back and forward. No. Let's make things right. If something hurts, let's talk to God. No. Have a meeting with Him. Tell Him what your problems are. Tell Him what bothers you. In fact, make a list. I don't like this. I don't like this. I hate this. And when you finish with all your list, then you tell Him, I need help. Because I don't want to live this way. I want to go to church and I want to have joy. I want to go to church and I want to have a good time. I want to go to church and I want to hear your word so your word can change me. I want to feel your spirit. I want to feel your presence. But we come sometimes all burdened down. We still carrying stuff from the back. Some, how far back, I don't know. I'm not saying that you're going to forget those things. You never will forget the trauma and all that stuff that caused you. But I'm not talking about that part. God can heal your emotions. God can heal your body. You will never forget about it. But at least you have some closure. And you can move forward. Well, enough of that. So, we are going to be hurt. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their life unto death. So we can overcome. We are overcomers. Amen. He already overcame for us. Christ already trailed the way. We don't have to do it again. He already gave us what we needed. Our testimony is the word of God. This is my testimony. This message is my testimony. And I'm going to hold on to it. And I'm going to serve Him. And I'm as far as I can. See? I'm going to get nothing let me down. God will not let you down. You know, Jesus, before He died, they put a crown on in His head, a crown of thorns, you know. And His body was full of scars. But see, one of these days, if we are faithful, we are going to crown Him also. But we are going to crown Him with glory. And you are going to be crowned. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. But she, the bride, will be crowned one of these days with glory, with the same glory that He had before the foundation. You're going to be crowned. So that's enough to just look forward. You know, this is not going to last forever. Life don't last forever. That's how I, you know, talk myself into things. When I go through, say, they won't last forever. Because everything will pass away. So hold on. Hold on, little bride, because one of these days, you'll be glorified. And all this is going to be not even a memory any longer. You will never remember what happens. Amen. It says, so I can say that I am glad to be a part of this body, this local body. I'm happy. I love you guys. And I don't want to be no other place, but this is the only place I'll rather be, with the body. Amen. Amen. Exposition of the sermon. Let me continue reading what I started reading quickly. Okay. Quickly, it says, that is exactly what they are too. You know, the denominations, he said. They are not Christians. See? And somebody without a head, without an authority, they are not Christian. They profess to have a form, he says. But he said, they are not Christian. You have to be born of the will of God, not the will of man, to be saved. But these folks are all coming together now by the will of a man. See? And do not say that some of them are right with God. See, He's not saying, well, if you don't believe this message, you're not born of the Holy Ghost, you're not saved. He says, you know, because there's a doctrine that said that if you are not, you're not going to be saved if you don't accept this message. That's not right. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus sent Christ to die for you and you believe in your heart, you can be saved. There are some people that are good. There are some people that will be saved. And they will receive eternal life in the day of judgment, depending on what they did or what they knew. That's all. But you don't have to believe this message to be saved. Don't go out there and tell people that. That's not right. That's not, you against the Bible. You make God anti a curse when we say those things. It says, aren't right with God. Not for a minute do I say that, but the ringing of fire has died down, it says. They are not the same anymore, it says, holding baggage, see? What I was telling you, they are not anymore the same. Now, this is what he means, they are not anymore the same. The fervent desire to please God is not there. Now, I want you to check, a checklist. The fervent desire to please God. The passion to know his word. Check, that's there. Check, that's there. That's what you hear. It says, the cry for reaching out in the spirit wasn't there. All begins to fade, and instead of the church being on fire with the fire of God, it has what? Cool off. And become a bit formal. See? A desire. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Everything. This is the time that we need to start laying around everything. There is no reason for us to be carrying something that weighs us down. We need to move forward. We are there. This is the last leg. That's it. We are it. We need to move forward. It says, let us lay aside every weight and then the sin which that so easily beset us. Not that we are sinful, but sin is doubt. See? It's all it is. If we are doubting, it's because we don't understand God's word. It says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See? That's why sometimes people cool off. You know, because every weight, it says, let us lay aside every weight of doubt, every weight that beset us, everything that keep you back, forgot to fulfill a purpose in your life, you need to get rid of that. Okay? You know what it is. I know what bothers me. You know what bothers you. See? Matthew 11:28-30 says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's God's promise to you. You don't need to carry that burden. You don't need to be that way. You don't need to be unhappy. And if you are, you can give all that to him. See? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly and in heart. And you shall find rest. If he said we can find, then we can find rest. Amen. Unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Continue reading from this piece that we've been reading. That is what would happen back there in the fishing, he says. They were getting a bit formal. Their abandonment, neglecting the desertion, the rejection of God was dying out, and they were dying out, and the people weren't too careful about what God thought of them. As they began to be careful about what the world thought of them. See? The second generation coming on was just like Israel. They demanded a king. See? Now they want a man. Now they want a book of rules, of ethics. What don't do's and don'ts. See? I think it's easier if you just tell me what to do and what not to do. Well, that's not for me to do. That's for him to do. That you need to get that from him. He needs to guide you. I'm not here to tell you what is good and what is bad and what is indifferent. The same way I know what it is, you should know. You got the same head. We got the same God. We don't have different. God is the same one. The same control. The second generation, when they did that, they rejected God, but they did it anyway. That is the history of the church. When it thinks more of conforming to the world instead of conforming to God. It's not long until you see them stop doing things they used to do. That's how I know in church when things start going the wrong way. When you start acting different than what they used to act, rather, that's clicking. And your pastor too. When things start changing, You know, a person that comes to church all the time, so when they start missing church, you know, it just a flag goes up. Yeah. Well, I know that brother and I know her. Why? They never. Something is going wrong. See, stop doing the things we used to do and start doing things you wouldn't do initially. They change their manner of dress and their attitude and their behavior. See, you might not say anything, but your body can say it all. You could be sitting there fine, but, you know, the body can tell me you're happy or not to be here tonight. Me, you cannot fool God anyway. You can fool me, but you cannot fool God. But sometimes that's what happens when things start changing, when the attitude starts changing, when we don't see that far, you know, something starts changing. See? The cycle of revival and death has never failed. All you have to do is recall this last move of God in the spirit when men and women dressed like Christians went to church, prayed all night, took the street corners and weren't ashamed of the manifestation of the Spirit. And this church is not ashamed of the manifestation of the Spirit. Amen. Some of you have not been here long enough. But I've seen a move of God in this church that all you see is the bottom of the shoes. People just completely fall backwards and all you see is the feet hanging. And all you hear is laughing. I have seen movements in this church. People take off and run all over the place. We are not ashamed. This church is not ashamed of the move of the Spirit. We still love God. We still love His Spirit. And we still love that move of the Spirit. But some people are a little bit too formal. You know, we need to let go and let God. And one of these days, if you stay here long enough, you might get to see what I have seen for years. Don't get scared now. Either jump in or get out of the way because they're going to run you over. You have never seen a move until you see this church moving in the Spirit of God. I mean, you see our brothers, you know, look like acting like a big eagle. And my sister are there in the floor all laughing and all over the place. And you said, something wrong with this church. No, something's wrong with you. Because you don't know how to let go and let God. We are not ashamed. If the Spirit of God decides to manifest Himself tonight, we can open up and let go and God do whatever you want to. And you know, next morning you feel better than the day before. I remember my experience, but let's continue. It says, they left their old churches and worshiped in homes and all store buildings. They had reality. They have a reality. But it wasn't too long a time until they began to get enough money. They got enough money to build a church. They put choirs. Now it became an entertainment, see? Singing. Unto God for themselves, they put gowns, choirs. They organized a movement and run it by man. See? They soon began to read books that weren't fit to read. And I'm not talking about sinful books. Every time I look at the news, sometimes I like to look at some of the Christian news, CBN and some of those things. But once they get there to start asking for money and selling books, but if you subscribe, I don't care what amount, $20 a month, we're going to send you a book. And everybody's writing books about this is your faith, this is your life, this is your life. They want to tell you what you're supposed to do, but they themselves don't. If you meet these people, they're worse than you are. But they're trying to tell you this is the way you're supposed to act. It became a commercialism, selling books, tapes. That's man's idea of God and body, see? That's not God's idea. You know, it becomes all commercial entertainment. That's what Brother Brian is saying, see? The fire has died down and the blackness of ashes is about all that is left. Rabbi says, a few moments ago, I'm going to hurry up, mentioned that John understood that it was to love God. The great apostle of love, who certainly see it when the church began to lose the first love of God. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." See? One little deviation from that word was a step away from God. One. It only took one little word to deceive Eve. One. It's not a big thing that is going to come suddenly. Whoa. No. Just a little bit of things. Starts with something little, but if it continues, it will grow. See? So, and you don't find in the Bible these pictures, you know, these churches. You know, you find a lot of deviation out there, but not in this church. The Bible don't have no deviation. Man made deviations. Amen, from the Bible. And one of the things, I'm going to go quick now. Sometimes people come to church when they are running low spiritually. That's man deviation, see? Sometimes they come, you know, and now I need a jolt, I need a feeling, and they come, and then you don't see them again. But church is not for that. When you feel like you need to have something, then once you get it and you feel better, now you don't come back. That's what they do out there. That's when they don't have authority. The only thing they have is a church. But they don't have no authority. Or sometimes they make the place, Brother Brown says, a place of entertainment. You know? And that's what they're looking at. I was talking to a fellow one time, and he was looking for a church. And the first question he asked him, what I told him, well, you know, I know what you can go. He said, how's your entertainment? How's your choir? You know, because that's what they were looking for. But the church, that's not what church is all about. Sometimes we think the church is a drugstore. Yeah. I feel bad. I got a pain. My situation, my circumstance. I better go to church so they can pray for me. This is not a drugstore. Give me the recipe or whatever it is. And then we pray for you. You'll get better. Then we don't see you again. That's not what church is all about. That's what those churches are there. You know, those TV churches, you know. They tell you, you know, and they get healed. Because the word of God can never fail you. You can believe it. It's not them. It's just the word. God don't have no respect of person. If you believe that word, he will do it. But see, they don't go to church. They look at TV and they see this big evangelist. But see, they don't want to have a head. They don't want authority. They want a church, a body that can help them when they're in trouble. And sometimes that's what some Christians are. They come to church when they're in trouble. Once they get prayed. And we help them because we're going to pray. We're not going to say, well, we are not, I haven't seen you. No, we're going to pray for you because we are commanded to do that. But this is not a drugstore, you know. Sometimes just look like a fitness station, like a gas station. Well, I need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. But this is not a gas station where you come and you pull and let's fill you up and then we don't see you again. But some people want to do that. When they feel bad, when they have things, situation, you know, affliction or depression, they want to come. And once we get prayed, everything gets better. Then what? So, and some other people like to come. I've seen them all here. People that they come to church because they're looking for a program. You know, what did your church have to offer? Do you have a good Sunday school? Do you have a choir? Do the children have a program? Do you have a youth pastor? Do you have a cantata on Easter and one on Christmas? Do you have, you put all this play? What do you have to entertain to make my family, you know, feel? You know, I'm so glad we don't have none of that stuff. And I'm not saying that is needed. I'm saying that's not what we are here for. And I'm not saying that is bad. You know, there's some churches that put up all kind of programs all throughout the years, and they call that mission field, you know, outreach. That's fine. But that is not a mean to an end. Right, right. well, it's just the neighborhood, and we're putting all this thing, all this show, and all this, so we can, you know, do our mission work. And listen to me. That by itself had no value. No value at all. We can do all that things. But if we are not faithful to God and to the church and the things that we're supposed to do, it's not going to edify you. It's not going to make you better. It's not going to change you. Not by itself. I'm not against all that stuff. All I'm saying is that the end is the church. You need to understand it's not all the stuff. The end is the church, the body of Christ and Him. That's it. Everything else is a bonus. But when we come to church, it's between you and God, me and God, and that's it. It has nothing to do with the rest of that stuff. And I know people left the church because we don't offer a lot of things. But you know what happened? People, I was talking to a pastor, I'm not going to mention it, but he has good music programs and everything. And he told me one day, we were talking, he says, you know, he said, the thing I dread, he told me, was that the people over here that are coming for the entertainment and all this stuff. And I know they're coming, and then because a few years or months later, they're gone. Once all that euphoria is gone, they're gone. And he knows, because those things will attract, you know, everything, good, bad, indifferent. But I'm not saying that that's evil. I'm saying that is not, has no value, that will not change anything. That make you feel good. But I don't need a church to make me feel good. I want a change is what I want. I want a transformation. And those things are not going to transform me. I like it. I'm a musician. I love it. We have musicians. We got good, you know, gift in this church. We got, at least we have a Sunday school. And we are doing the best we can with what we got and what God allows us to do. But we are not going to go to the stream to offer something so we can bring people, so we can, you know, provide them salvation. No, that's the wrong way to do things. You know, when you fall in love with God, you fall in love with God. You don't need nothing else. Everything else is secondary. That's it. That's why some people are disappointed. And they have left. And I'm not mad at anybody. I just know that sometimes people have some different ideas and thoughts. You know? Oh, I'm not going to live here because that pastor, every time I go to church, he has something to say bad about me. But then when you come to church, that's what church is for. You know, this is a house of correction. So you prefer for me to tell you how good you are, and then that day, in the day of judgment, you're going to blame me because I didn't tell you the truth? Do you want the truth or you want the lie? Because some people want to believe the lie more than the truth. Listen, there's no value in none of that stuff. That's a mindset. People have mindset. I've seen it all coming and going. And I know that we are a church that we believe and we love God and we love His Spirit and we love His Word. And no matter what happened, we are here. Amen. If we do have a program or don't have a program, that's not the reason I came to the church. When I came to the church, it's because God brought me here. And some of you do the same thing. You say, God sent me here, Pastor, I want to be this, be my church. Okay, that was it. Then why suddenly later we move because we are disappointed or with something or frustrated? I thought God sent you here, you know? Anyway, let's leave that alone. People said they love God. They go to church. They even shout, Brother Van said, and rejoice and sing and have great emotional times. But when it's all over, watch and see if they are in that word. I don't mind the shouting. I don't mind the running. I don't mind the emotion. I love it. But by itself, it don't profit me nothing. It's just the word is going to profit me. He said, walking in it, living in it. If they go through all the other and they don't walk in that word. See, they can say they love God, but their life tell. See, the fruit we tell. Another story. See? I wonder if John didn't see a lot of this before he died. People saying they love God but not obeying his word. Oh, Ephesian church, something is happening to you. Now, he's not talking to the Ephesian church. He's talking, this is the Ephesian church. We are type of the Ephesian church. He says, something is happening to you. Someone is trying to either add to the word or take from it. But they are doing it so subtly that you cannot see it. Just a small thing at a time. A little here, a little there. A word here, and a word there. They haven't made a move so big you can see it. It's not a big thing, see? It's out there in the open. It is undercover, see? And they are bringing it by way of reason, human understanding, and it will take over unless you refuse it. Anything that exalted himself above the word of God, you should refuse it. If you don't find it in the word of God, refuse it. They haven't made a move so big, okay, he says, and refuse it. God, go back. Now, this is his statement. Go back to Pentecost before it's what? Go back to Pentecost. You know that was the first love? You know that Pentecost was the first church, the inauguration of the first church? And it has not changed. Whatever happened in the Alpha, it has to happen in the Omega, in the last one. If that was the beginning of that one, it will be the same thing in the end. If this body, if this tree put out another branch, where man says, it will put another book of what? Acts. How did it begin? In the gates of Pentecost. And people can go ahead and get all over me because I believe in Pentecost, but not Pentecost, the denomination, the experience. Because in those days, you know, Brother Barron says, Pentecost means that they love a good old-fashioned, you know, spirit, Holy Spirit coming. See, people now are getting a little bit too formal. But in those days, and today, we love a good shower. Once in a while. Well, we cannot have it every day. It becomes too common. Yeah. Well, what about Jesus? What about Brother Branham? 99% of the time, they walk in the Spirit. Listen, my friend, you never could have enough of God. You never can exhaust God because it's in infinity. How can you exhaust infinity? Even when we go to heaven, we're still going to be learning. You will not know it all when you get to heaven. You will know more than you know now, but you will not know it all because, see, you can never exhaust infinity. And infinity is one more day after that day that you know. And when you know that day, it's another one. It's another one, and it never ends. You know, it never ends. Go back to Pentecost before it's too late. You know, I want to finish with this, but I remember when I received the Holy Ghost. And some of you know what I'm talking about. That was the greatest gift of love that I ever received. That's what Brother Brown says. Go back to your first love. You know, and your first love, I remember, it took me a whole week to get down from cloud nine. I mean, you could spit in my face, you could kick me, you could drag me, and I will kiss you and say thank you. I cannot explain something that is unexplainable, and I don't know how else to explain it to you unless you go through it. You have to have your own Pentecost because that is why you're going to experience the person of Christ himself to love you. I didn't know what love was. I couldn't even love myself. I was angry and bitter all the time with the things that I went through until that day. I never thought that a love like that could do that much for me. So every time you feel the presence of God, don't you feel good? Don't you feel sweet? Don't you feel kind? And in fact, if you let it complete the round, the Holy Spirit comes, and when he just baptizes you with the Spirit, you lose your mind. You lose your mind, but that's okay. God is not going to embarrass you, you know? But I tell you, that is a personal touch from God. And if you ever felt that, you want more. I want more. After all this year, 40-something, I want more. I can never come accustomed to that. I will never become a habit. I want more. Or when you come and you say, I want more, what you said, I want more of that. Wine. See? One day I took my wife, I told you, she received either refreshment or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I'm taking it home, and the deacon says that he didn't know anything about it. What's wrong with your wife? I said, I looked at him, she had too much wine. I told her to stay away from that wine, but, and I left him there. He probably looked at me like, whoa. So I drag her home and stay in bed for 2 or 3. You know, I don't know you have experienced that. There's no way you can function when you're in cloud nine. It's just like you're high on drugs and there's no way anything impairs you, enables you for anything. I went to work that week. I got over. I had to go to work. But I mean, I couldn't even do my work. It was hard for me to work, you know, when my mind is in cloud nine, you know. And that week, I mean, it doesn't matter what they did to me. I was just smiling, and I was so happy, and, you know, of course, I had to come down. You cannot live in there all your days of your life, you know. You had to come down. So no, that's what Brother Branham, after the preaching and all that, he needed somebody to talk to him or tell him a joke. He needed to come down. You cannot live there. This body will not sustain that for too long. We need a new body. And we're going to have a new body. And one of these days we are going to be happy forever and ever and ever. But you got to start here. You want to be happy? Get filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be happy. And you want to be at peace. And you want to do the purpose of God. When you come to church, anticipate that the presence of God will fill you. How much do you want? That's up to you. How much you want to drink? That's up to you. Maybe you want to be a social drinker and just sip. Back up my truck, fill it up. You know, I'm going to bring me a drum, 55-gallon drum, to church. Fill it up, fill it up. You know, we sing that song, you know, fill my cup, Lord. How much do you want? Do you just want to take a little sip because you're so afraid that if you take too much, you cannot be able to think? We don't want you to think. That's your problem, thinking. Let God do the thinking for you. Why don't you lose your mind and have the mind of the Lord? You know, people, I want to finish with this statement. People are afraid of the same thing that is going to save their life. Because they don't understand it. But once you go to the experience, you don't need to understand anything. The love of God surpasses everything you want to know. The warning. You can rise to your feet. Let me finish with this. The warning of God. Revelation 2:5. Brother Branham says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. That is the warning. Repent. Repent. And do the first work. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove the candlestick out of his place. Except thou what? Repent. You know, I don't want God to remove my pastor. I'm happy for this church. I'm happy the way he yields to the Spirit of God. You know, but God can put up so much with us. We need to repent. And we need to go back to our first works. You know? We need to just lose our mind and let God, let go and let God. Amen? Some of you remember that. You remember your first experience with God. You will never forget it. How can you forget it? When God comes to you, God, the creator of heaven and earth, comes to you and said, I love you. How can you forget that? How can you forget to come to church and give him praise and thank for what he has done for you? All we deserve was death. Right. I'm afraid, like like Brother Brown says, sometimes we're getting a little bit formal. We don't need to get a little bit formal. This is family. In fact, after we get done, we won't all remember what happened anyway. So forget it. Nobody's going to tell about you. In fact, you're going to tell people, what did you do in that church last night? Oh, I had fun. What kind of fun? Oh, well, I ran around. I screamed like I run like a chicken with your head cut off, a slobber. I flop. Wow. Yeah, that's fun for me. Some of you are afraid of that. That's why you hold back. God will not make you ashamed. God will not shame you. And in fact, we all rejoice if you do. In fact, we encourage you more. Go, go, go. I remember Manuel. Go, Manuel. Go, go. Manuel did about how many laps you did? I don't know. I wasn't counting. I would just go, Manuel. Go. And he never hit anybody. He never tripped. He never fell. And those eyes were not looking. Because I know when you come under that unction, you lose your mind, you lose your sight. It is God. He never tripped. He never hit anybody with you. But when he got done, he went and kissed everybody and hugged everybody. That's what God do for you. You laugh, but that's what God do for you. God make you love your worst enemy. God make you love your brother and your sister. See? But we are denying that. Brother Matt says, we are getting cold. We should never be cold. We should come to church and expect that God will do the first works, that God will fill us with the Spirit of God. You know, if you ask me what I want is life. I don't want to come to a dead form of church. I want life. And I will do anything to get life. See, I don't care how ridiculous it looks. I just want the life. That's what I want. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your telling us, Father, how much you love us and how much you care, Father. And most of all, we have felt your love, Father, that we need more every day, Father. Every day is sweeter than the day before. Father, every day we want more, more. Father, until we get out of here, we want to just be filled with your Spirit, Lord. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to talk in the Spirit, Father. Father, we want to fulfill your purpose in that you have before the foundation in our life, Father. Father, we want to surrender to you tonight. Father, we want to surrender everything. We don't want to hold back, Father. If there's anything, Father, in our life holding us back, Father, if there's emotional or mental, physical, anything, Father, we want to give it to you, Father. We want you to take it away. We are not going to forget, of course, but we will know that everything is okay once you come, Father, and you heal our bodies, our minds, Father. Our spirit, Father. Father, we want to walk light. We don't want to go around with this heavy burden, Father. Father, we want you to be the one that lead us and guide us and provide for us. Father, we don't want to be worried about tomorrow, Father. Father, today is sufficient with all that we have to do, Father. Tomorrow will bring its own thing, but today, Father, tonight, we want to just concentrate. We want to focus on you, Father. Father, help us to understand, Father, that it's only you. And beside you, there's nothing else. Everything else, it has no value. Father, I know that sometimes we think that things are important, but there's nothing more important in life than you. And I'm not doing away with things. No. We need to live. We need to, as the Bible says, we need to work. We need to go places. We need a car. We need a place to live. I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. God will provide. God will provide. But we have to be faithful. As the Bible says, seek the kingdom of God first. And all the rest shall be added unto you. That takes the whole worry and the work out of it. Father, you first, you second, and you third, everything in our life. We thank you again, Father, for allowing us to come, for allowing us to be here and hear your word. Father, we thank you for your love and your kindness. Thank you for your caring for us. Thank you for blessing us, Father. Father, this is the place that I would rather be, Father, in your presence. Father, with your body. Father, looking unto you for everything that I have need, Father. Father, this, you have not called us so we can be a people that are unhappy and stressed and not peaceful. That's not what you call us for. You call us so we can have peace, so we can have joy, so we can have what we have need for. Father, I know you will provide that. Father, I pray that if there's anybody here, Father, that is still holding on to things, Father, I just pray, Father, make that burden, Father, take it, make it easier. Father, let them take your yoke and you can give them there and there can be peace and rest. We have been called to a rest, not to an unrest. And we move forward till we can enter into that rest. We want to enter, and we know when we enter into that rest, because nothing else matters but you. The fruits will know when we have entered into a rest. Nothing bothers me. Nothing bothers you. Nothing worries me, because you are in control and everything is in your hands, Father. I don't understand why cancer. I don't understand why this. I don't understand why this is going to that and the other. I don't have to. I don't understand everything. But I know one thing, that you are in control of all these things. Sometimes we worry about all the wars and rumors of wars and bombs and this and that. I won't worry. Brother Van said, let that bomb explode. I'm out of here. Period. What I'm going to do? Build a place so I can bury myself. So there's no shelter. There's nothing. What can we do as human beings? Lord, but trust you and put and depend on you. I thank you again. We love you and we thank you for all you do for us and you will do, Father, and everything that you could continue doing, Father. We love you. Now help us, Father. Help us, Father, to surrender our life so your purpose can be finished in our life. In Jesus' name we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. God have His way. Again, let go and let God have His wonder. Let go and let God His way. Today, let go and can we sing that one that says, the best thing I ever done was to fall in love with God or something like that? Love God. Help me, start me, I don't know. With me, falling in love. About it, falling in love with Jesus, for the best thing I ever done. Back to Pentecost, falling in love with Jesus, yes, falling in love with Jesus.
protected in His heart. Never disconnected, always connected to the head. I feel protected. Amen. There's no place I'd rather.